Welcome once again to the Spin Axis podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
This episode is brought to you by the Fit for Golf app. And in my mind, and a lot of tour players, it's the number one fitness golf app. Mike Carroll has put together the best workout routines for you so that you can work on getting stronger, healthier, and of course, fitter, both at home with bands or at the gym with all the machines. He's got you covered so you can hit the ball further, lower your scores, and play your best golf for years to come. Use code SPINAXIS to get 20% off your subscription. Your body and your golf game will thank you.
In this week's episode, we're going to talk about a pretty big topic. So this could span multiple topics or multiple episodes. We're going to talk about skill versus technique. Number one, how do you define it? Number two, how do you teach it? So Eric, can you tell us how you define skill versus technique?
Sure. I tend to define technique as how you move the club, how you move your body, kind of the mechanics of the motion, the mechanics of the sport, the mechanics of your golf swing. So it's the how you move the club, your body, et cetera. Skill I define as the how well, right? It's very results oriented. So there's a certain way that a good player hits a distance wedge, you know, where their weight goes, where their left shoulder goes, how they use their wrists and stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then there's the, when they need to hit a 72-yard wedge, do they hit it 72 yards or do they hit it 78 yards? Even if the technique was good, you still got to put the skill into place of hitting it 72 yards when it wants to go 72 yards. That's how I define it. Do you guys have any disagreements or is that pretty much how you see it?
I would agree 100%. Your general overall how you move is your technique. And then how well you can move inside that is your skill.
I like it. Would you guys consider yourselves more of a technique coach, more of a skill coach? Are you doing both?
Yeah, I'm for sure. First out of the gate, it's technique. The amount of golfers that swing their body, let alone the club, in such an interesting movement pattern is beyond me. Now, obviously, when you go to golf, you're trying to hit the ball in the hole with the least amount of strokes. And do I want people thinking super technically out there? No, but if you need to think some amount technical to get the club in a good position and get the face in a good position so that you can let your skill flow, then you need to have that happen. You know, Mr. Johnson comes to me and his face is 45 degrees open at the top of his backswing. The amount of skill that he needs, he probably doesn't have it, to get the face square into impact is too great. Versus, don't get me wrong, there are people out there that have a massive amounts of skill and they can make some pattern work, but Mr. Johnson doesn't have that. So we need to start with him on the technical side. Then once the technical side is good enough, then we need to pour into the skill.
I like to think of it as the skill adds to your baseline, but your technique is your baseline. The technique is kind of your floor, and then you can kind of raise that floor with the skill. Someone that has a good technique, a better technique, will, in general, perform better even on the bad days, okay? We've all seen the bad golfer that can time stuff up and hit like a tour level shot. You know, they flush one now and then, okay? But their baseline is down there, right? They got lucky a little bit sometimes or whatever. But even an 18 handicapper will shoot 83 now and then. But if you improve the technique, they can shoot 83 all the time, and that could be a bad day. Whereas Scottie Scheffler is a good player, but occasionally, I think twice last year, you know, he shot over par. So like your skill, when your technique is better, your baseline is better. And then the skill adds to that baseline.
I will often give people the analogy of their golf swing. So their fundamentals is a glass, and you have that 20 handicap. Your glass is a shot glass. Absolutely. You could go to the range and you could constantly practice your skill and you can pour that all in. That would be water into that shot glass, and you're going to shoot.
I need a shot glass after some of the lessons.
Yeah.
No doubt. Today was one of those days.
Yeah. Okay. So keep going.
Just a couple quick double. So Mr. Johnson, again, we'll go back to him. He goes to the range and he practices all the time, but he has such an atrocious pattern in his swing that he needs so much skill, and it's filled to the brim of a shot glass. he's going to shoot 90s and his best is going to be 83. If we can enlarge his glass, make it into, you know, let's say a tumbler or, you know, whatever the next size glass it would be, well, now he can pour more skill into that because his pattern isn't holding him back anymore. His fundamentals and his technique aren't holding him back. Well, now we can pour more skill in there so that, like you said, he's no longer shooting 83 on his best day. He's shooting 83 in his worst days.
Well, and I love how you define that, right? Technique is moving the club and moving our body, and they're not necessarily the same thing. Most of the players that I see, some of them might move the club pretty well, but their body movement and their body control is terrible. Or I might see somebody who has great body control, but the club is so far out of position that that good body control doesn't benefit them. We're constantly trying to find the happy medium of moving your body better, controlling the golf club so that we can then produce some more skill. And I would say that in the indoor setting with force plates and TrackMan and video and gears and all the things that we have, we're definitely, you know, taking a look at the technique. Would you guys then sort of agree that skill is almost the player's responsibility to build once they build good technique? Is that a fair statement? Or is that something, when do you try to coach skill for a player?
So as with everything, it depends. I coach a little differently in the summer here. We have a winter season, we have a summer season, and so on. So my juniors, for example, I just gave a talk to them near the end of my junior elite program. In November, when I say, look, you guys have 5 months of not much golf. Like, we're going to kind of drill down on your one or two biggest priorities, and we're going to work on those hard. And you don't have to care where the ball goes for at least 2 months. And then we're going to start to care a little bit more about where the ball's going, trust the changes for a while. So heavy into the technique, okay, for 5 months. Well, 3.5. You know, we start to do some skill things toward the end to show them what changes have resulted in. Certainly, if a player comes to me in June and they're like, dude, I got a tournament in 2 weeks, my chipping sucks, we're going to be a little bit more results-oriented, or we got to find them a shot with a driver, right? It's a little crazy. It doesn't matter if it's a 20-yard cut or 30-yard cut. If they can hit it every time, we can kind of play with that. Not much time to work on their technique at that point. A little bit more focus on the skill of getting around the golf course at that time. Jason?
I'm the same way, for sure. As a Canadian, we get, you know, beautiful 6 months of our golf season. And that 6 months is, you want to shoot your lowest scores. I don't like people out on the golf course thinking technical, because it's hard to golf like that. Now, don't get me wrong, there's always golfers that are out there that play good golf with technical thoughts. I think there's an interview with Jason Day when the lady was asking him, oh, you're working with Chris Como, what are you guys working on? And he listed 5 things, just boom, boom, boom. And the lady goes, yeah, but you're not thinking about that on the golf course, are you? And he just flat out goes, yep, that's every shot. I'm focused on doing those things. So obviously, if one of the best golfers in the world can do it, you can too, if that's your body type or that's your how you think out on the golf course. Some people can't, right? Some people need to see a shot, feel a shot. But what you want is you want to have built up a good fundamentals, right? Again, your technique, so that that athletic movement can shine when you start applying more skill into that. I'm a big fan of doing skill work on the range, inside in a sim, or when you're, you know, banging foam balls. That's more technical stuff. That's where I'd like to see, you know, people more focused in that.
Right. A student just asked me the other day, how do I transition into golf season a little bit more? And when you're practicing, I still like to see a lot of players. This person was working on a fairly big change, and so I had him kind of arrive at the conclusion on his own. I kind of let him there a little bit, but that he should still spend, when he's practicing, the first 60 to 75% doing his technique work, lest he slide back a little bit too far, with the last bit being a combine, a wedge combine, a full swing combine, an iron approach shot combine, whatever, a combine, make up a putting game, play some other kind of game where there's competitiveness. You can kind of keep score against yourself. There's some pressure. I had him add some elements that would add pressure. I'll keep those between him and I, and stuff like that. So you can do both. Personally, I do all technique. I don't do any skill stuff when I'm practicing. I will early in the season do some skill stuff on the golf course, but I've always just been able to kind of do it. I've always been able to kind of hit the shot I want. I don't have a lot of time to practice, so I want to make sure that I'm not sliding back too much, so I need to stay on top of stuff technique-wise. How do you think that players should practice in season when they're playing in season? They have a list of things they have to check and work on. PGA Tour players can all list the three or four things that are constantly trying to keep in check in their golf swing. Scottie Scheffler grips his gripping club, you know, before every round. He checks that every round. So, Jason, how do you work in season when you have technique things that you're aware of, but you want to maximize your skill and your scores? Minimize your scores, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, 100%. So for all my golfers that are, let's say, 15 to 10 or better handicap, you're going to have one or two things. You're going to have probably a setup or a backswing, and then, you know, or a backswing and a downswing. The downswing's so short, it probably needs to happen when you feel like in a transition. But I want your first bit of whatever your warm-up to be technical. And this is where it always drives me crazy that everyone's like, I want to be better. I want to hit it like Scottie Scheffler. I want to hit it like Ricky Fowler. I want to play like these guys. They have swing coaches. They have caddies. They have videotape. They have drills that they're doing. And you will see them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday on the range grinding at whatever their drills that their coach has given them. Okay, they set up camera. They got a trackman out. Their caddy is videotaping them. I want some amount of technical because you need to have a base set of a couple feels to make sure that your pattern isn't one way or the next. Now, obviously, coming onto Thursday, Friday, now it's, all right, can we hit the shots? You're still got your feel from your technical work on the day before, but then can we straight up just hit those golf shots? That's why I would say I want my players 10, 5 minutes, you know, of some technical and then into hitting golf shots.
So you said technical work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at the tour on the range, but then you want the players to have the feels. And I think a lot of people have a misconception about how technique work is mechanical. Like, and I say all the time that golfers don't have dials and switches and knobs and stuff. If they did, golf instruction would be very easy. You turn this knob that way and the golfer's better. So I think technique gets a bad rap as far as being not feel. Every golfer is a feel player, I like to say. The only thing I can teach them is feels. But if golfers do the right mechanics, they learn their feels from those mechanics. So Tyson, when you're working on technique work, I think you'd agree it's not no feel, it's all feel. But it has to be the feels that create the right mechanics.
Absolutely. And that's what's great with all the technology that we do have. When that player starts to create a new feel, they can see it on a video. And then we as a coach can say, what did that feel like? Not, I want you to feel this because I don't feel like you. But you can give me what that new move feels like. And I would say, I think, as I get closer to the season, just like you guys, you definitely start to ask more of those questions. Now that you've worked on these technique changes for the last few months, tell me what it feels like. Tell me what you are feeling. And I would ask you guys, would you think that you can build in maybe a couple of those triggers or in their pre-shot routine, a couple of those moves, like Scotty with the grip? You see some of these guys sort of take the club up to, you know, P2, or they go to the top and pump it down to P6 sort of in their pre-shot routine. Are they trying to, you know, have a technical feel in their golf swing before they hit the shot and they just trust that feel?
One of the things that I also told my juniors this past weekend was your practice swing has to have a purpose. I see it,
love that,
honestly, more commonly among girls than boys, where they'll be like, why did you just make 3 practice swings? I don't know. I always make 3 practice swings. No, like, you're just wasting energy and time. Your practice swing has to have a purpose. And if that purpose is to what I call load the feel into your body, usually a kind of slightly exaggerated version of whatever you're trying to do. Science has taught us that the feel leaves your body within about 8 seconds. So that's why you'll see guys, you know, brush the grass on a short game shot, like repeatedly, just kind of getting that feel. Then they kind of step up to the ball, look at the target and go pretty quickly, or else the longer you wait, the more that feel has left your body. So I like my players, if they're going to make a practice swing, just make the move, just rehearse a little bit of what you're doing, and then go. Load the feel into your body and go. Jason, similar, different?
Yeah, and I would say, especially if you're working on something, that practice swing should feel way more exaggerated than it actually is going to be in your swing.
Yes.
Now, mm-hmm. as you know, personal for my own game, when people talk about feels, as crazy as it sounds, because you're always talking about people have the face too open, in my backswing, I feel like I basically just flop the face as wide open as I can in my backswing.
Hey, you and me, brother. I have to do that too.
And we're together? I love it. Okay.
I feel like I arch my right wrist as a righty during my backswing.
Love this.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I literally can't get the face open enough to help me like lay off the club. And so in my practice swing, my little like waggle off the golf ball, it's like I literally feel like I'm hinging that club up and just flopping it back behind me. Does it look anything like that in my swing? Nope. No, it doesn't. And that's the point, is you need to trust that the exaggeration needs to be that exaggerated so that you can get 10% of that when you go to actually pull the trigger and hit the golf shot.
Yeah, I just love both of those pieces. And do you, Jason, as you're doing that, is that something that you will do and feel on every single golf shot? Or is that something you just start to feel if you start to see the ball not do what you want it to do?
Right now, I'm trying to do it on every single golf shot until, and again, getting good feedback, until I videotape myself and my face is finally open and my club is too laid off at the top of my backswing, I can't feel it enough. And this is what I'll tell my students. Give me more than I'm asking for. And then once you do that, then we can go backwards.
I think there's a misconception too, that a swing thought makes you mechanical on the golf course. And I tell people too that a swing thought is just a feel. You're still just being a feel player. I think some people think you should just go out on the golf course and try to have a blank and empty mind and just look at the target. And I've never understood that. I don't remember the last time I hit a golf shot on a golf course where I didn't have a feel or a swing thought. You guys?
I think it's impossible, right? I mean, every movement that we ever...
I don't know. Some people say that you should do it, so...
Right? Every movement you create starts with a thought. You know, there's no such thing as muscle memory in the sense how people use that phrase. It starts with a thought. You've got to put the club in this position, right? Like Jason says, you got to feel that you're rolling that thing open. It's not that it is, but that's what it has to feel like. And you have to physically think that in order to make that happen.
Yeah, you got to buy in.
You have to buy in. You know, what would you say if we could pick one skill really quickly? I know that's a tough question. And as I said, this is a big subject. We could go on for 8 episodes talking about skill and technique. What would you say is the most important skill?
100% face control. Like you can be a little bit thin, you can be a little bit fat, and your path can be a little bit off. But if your face is off a couple degrees, especially with driver, you can't play golf. You can't play golf because you can't get off the tee.
Before I was an instructor a bunch of years ago, I went through an entire summer where I didn't hit a single shot solid, and my handicap dropped 2 strokes. I became like a 1.2 because every shot was just a little bit thin. I never had to replace a divot for an entire summer, and my handicap dropped like a stone because my face control was good and every ball kind of landed on the front of the green and kind of rolled back to the middle or the back. I'm in agreement there. Obviously, if you're so bad that you can't hit the ball at all and you're hitting the ground first, you know, I kind of would differ in saying ground contact, low point control is probably first, but face control for sure. You're not going to take many penalty shots when your face control is pretty good.
Yeah, totally agree. Really, really quick. Is there one quick thing that a player can do to try to improve their face control skill? What's something really quick?
Actually, going back to our last episode with those little 3-9 shots, that goes a long way to be able to feel your face, and then you just start lengthening out the swing.
I like to just put a stick down the target line, and if you fade it, every ball's got to start left of it a little bit, and if you draw it, every ball's got to start a little right of it.
And I'll do the same thing, and I'll make people do both versions, right, just to feel what both sides feel like. Let's pick one. All right, fellas, that's a wrap. Thanks for listening. As always, hit that subscribe button and share this with all of your friends.
And you can find us on socials at SpinAxis and online at thespinaxis.com.
Thanks for listening.